and WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Tom Rivers. Israel's Defense Force confirms there's no more fighting in the south right now. They blocked holes and fences along the Gaza border, now secured by tanks on the ground and fighter jets above. Israeli strikes across Gaza Sunday in response to the massive Hamas attack. ABC's James Longman in Tel Aviv.
Benjamin Netanyahu came out almost immediately to say that it was a state of war that his country was in. Israel has been placed into a state of emergency as a result. This is not something that Israel has ever faced before. And now the challenge is to try to bring it to a resolution. But as with most things in this part of the world, the resolution is not fast.
2 months after the deadly wildfires on Maui, tourism is coming back. But not everyone is happy about it, saying reopening the western part of the island will force wildfire victims out of hotels that were turned into shelters after the tragedy. This is ABC News. Wall Street investors are hoping the Middle East war doesn't disrupt oil supplies in the region, crude prices spiking after Israel declared war on Hamas. But the National Association of Business Economics, out with its latest survey, finds a rosier outlook.
What a difference a year makes.
Economists a year ago were expecting a recession or thought the U.S. economy was already in recession.
NABE's Ken Simonson says that's what respondents to its fall outlook survey said last year.
Now they are confident that the U.S. is not going to have a recession before the end of this year, and most of them believe that we'll avoid a recession in 2024.
Simonson says respondents are still worried about inflation and what the Federal Reserve will do to contain it. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Striking Kaiser Permanente healthcare employees are back at work without new contracts. The return of all 75,000 workers, ending the largest healthcare walkout on record. Negotiations are set to resume on Thursday. I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Do you support the legalization, regulation, and taxation of legal cannabis in the state of Wisconsin? You said yes! Melissa, that was like 12 years ago! What do you think the hang-up is?
It's the Republicans. They're suffering from reefer madness. They're out-of-touch legislators in the Capitol building who don't want to give a win to Governor Evers and Democrats.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
We had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How'd they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's a career opportunity.
Put that on your resume, baby.
Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is nice to be back on this Monday, October 9th. A very chilly, well, cold morning, but still a beautiful day to have you here up north from wherever you're listening, across the Civic Media Radio Network or the Civic Media app or by podcast or social media. Glad to have you here in what I lovingly refer to as the State of Wiscommon Sense, where we unpack the news each morning, including this morning, a holiday. It is Indigenous Peoples Day, a federal holiday, and for the old Columbus Day holiday, there won't be mail delivery as well. The rules vary from state to state and place to place, so just be aware that some folks that you might be reaching out to today will have the day off. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media, and we are owned by Courier Newsroom, which does take Indigenous Peoples Day off, so it will be a holiday for me after 8 a.m., which simply means I stay here at my desk and I prep for tomorrow morning's show. But that's a story for another day. It was great to have a little bit of time off to visit one of our daughters. We have one daughter out west in Idaho and one out in Michigan. And so we are out in the mountains of Idaho. I missed the 90s entirely last week because where we were, you know, up at elevation, it was cloudy and rainy and temps were in the 40s and 50s. So I'm very envious of what everybody got to enjoy last week. This is nothing new. In fact, 6 a.m. temps right now here on Lake Wissota, it is 40 degrees. Madison's at 35, Waukesha 34. La Crosse is at 42 degrees. Wausau reporting 37. Wisconsin Rapids, you're at 35 degrees. Green Bay, 34. And the cold spot across the Civic Media Radio Network would be the Buzz of the North listeners in Hayward, where it is 27 degrees right now. Well, let's see. What did I miss while I was away here? We have found that when I left, I thought we were literally hours away from a federal government shutdown. There wasn't a shutdown. There was a deal put in place. But as a result of that deal, the far right wing of House Republicans dumped Kevin McCarthy as Speaker. And so the House of Representatives is currently paralyzed. At a time where there's a major international incident going on in Israel, at a time that requires stable American leadership in the world, we're not seeing that from the House of Representatives in the Congress of the United States as they hold casting calls for a new House Speaker. Closer to home, it appears that legislative Republicans remained stuck in a doom loop obsession with trying to impeach public servants that they don't like. But Justice Janet Protasiewicz and the other progressive justices late Friday put out a decision that said they will take up the legal challenge directly to the current gerrymandered maps. And that means that Justice Janet Protasiewicz is not recusing herself as Republicans so hypocritically demanded. So we'll talk about that a bit. We'll visit with Dr. Kristen Lierley, as we do most Monday mornings. And then in our 7 o'clock hour, we'll learn more about the Indigenous Peoples Day holiday with Arvina Martin, chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's American Indian Caucus, about the history of the holiday and the opportunities to learn more about our tribal communities, whose challenges and gifts are often invisible to the rest of the country. And we'll do that with our friends from Motherhood for Good, Kate Duffy and Danielle Lynn. We'll have Jennifer Wachinski in for the weatherology forecast, and Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will have three things you should know to get the week started along the way. We'll take your phone calls as well, 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. You can email us, radio at upnorthnewswi.com, or if you're watching us on one of the Facebook pages where we appear, just leave a quote, a question, some feedback in the comment section, and we might show it there. We're on several Facebook pages, YouTube, and Twitter as well, so we're just glad to have you along however you choose to join us. Sam Davison joins us from Madison, the Civic Media headquarters. He does so by contractual obligation. You know, it's his job to have to sit here and listen to me prattle on like this. Last week, he got to listen to Chad Holmes and Todd Alba fill in for me, and I thank them very much. Sam, nice to be back. How'd things go? Did you miss me at all?
Yeah, I mean,
boy, that pause was killer right there, Sam. I mean, just right away with a dagger to start things off
out of the gate. Yeah, it was. I don't know. It was rough.
It was another day of listening to the three guys just prattling on. It's Todd.
It was another day
Chad
of being a radio producer. Yeah.
Uh huh.
But
okay.
No, it was definitely different. It was different than producing you or Stu, which I usually do. So it was an interesting change of pace, but it was not quite as fun to see you every morning.
Oh, well, thank you. I really want to express my thanks, not just to Todd, but, you know, Todd handles things in Madison where the studio is there and all goes well. Chad Holmes was doing this from the new studio for Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. Mm-hmm. And they were bringing that studio online like right up until the last minute. I think Monday morning was had a little bit of drama in there, if I'm not mistaken. But you got him on the air.
Yes, we did.
Okay,
We had some trouble with the phones at first, so we were he had a couple interviews he was going to do, and we almost had to just hold like a cell phone up to the mic to do the interview. But luckily, we didn't have to.
No, and again, some very hardworking folks behind the scenes making sure that Bull Falls Radio could enjoy their new studio, and eventually we'll have those folks here in Chippewa Falls for 93.5 The Tap to get us a new studio here in Chippewa Falls as well. Hey, let's take a break here, and then we'll unpack the news some and catch up a bit more on what all I missed while being away for the week. Nice to be back with you here on Up North News Radio for a Monday morning. Back after this, you're up north.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique.
And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Yesterday, all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
The Beatles' Suddenly, Yesterday was the number one song this day in 1965. We will have more Beatles history as well as the day in music and other history. Noting that today would have been John Lennon's birthday, born this day in 1940. His son Sean Lennon is 48 years old today. We'll have that and much more coming up in our daily history lesson and music break in just a little bit. Getting back to trying to get caught up here before we unpack the news, I want to thank the Milwaukee Brewers for giving us a little less to talk about. Apparently, I blinked and missed the playoffs. Again, being in Idaho for a couple of days, it was a little tough to get to, get in front of a TV and then find which of the wild card series was on the stations out there, depending on what bar or restaurant we were at. But I will say this much about the Brewers wrapping up their season. There has been much wailing and gnashing of teeth and rending of garments. And I have to tell you, I'm not one of those folks. I'm right up there with the Green Bay Packers in that, we don't have the drama of Aaron Rodgers anymore. So, yeah, that means lowering your expectations. And at no point was anybody picking the Milwaukee Brewers to win the World Series. They were going to be a very good team. They were going to compete for a division title. And they won that division title. And they won it handily. But the day before Game 1 of the wild card, it was released that Brandon Woodruff had a shoulder injury and was not going to be pitching. And not to sound defeatist, but in my mind right there, I said, okay, well, that was a nice run, because we don't have as deep a starting pitching staff as, other teams. We have a very good one, but one that was prone to being exploited the way that the Diamondbacks have. The Diamondbacks seem to have had the Brewers' number this year. And so it wasn't the world's biggest surprise, but it was still a very satisfying season. I'm sure that much like this year, we'll see a bit of a revolving door. That's what happens in markets of this size. But sometimes those teams gel really nicely like they did this year. And sometimes you get lightning in a bottle and go even further in the playoffs. But for what we were provided here in Wisconsin for Major League Baseball, we should be very happy with how most of the season went. And again, your larger market teams are going to carry on from here. Again, unless some small team like the Minnesota Twins finds lightning in a bottle, they won yesterday to tie up their American League Division Series at a game apiece with the Houston Astros. They'll go on without us, but some of us will still keep an eye on the baseball playoffs, even as we're watching football. And that's why I'm sporting the green and gold flannel shirt today, because the Packers are going to be playing tonight in Las Vegas against the Raiders and Devontae Adams, who may or may not play, depending on, I believe he's got still nursing a shoulder injury, but they will play tonight on ESPN for Monday Night Football. Let's see. I mentioned that your weatherology forecast is going to be coming up in detail in our next hour, but that again, 6 a.m. temps range from 27 degrees in Hayward to 42 degrees in La Crosse. So just make sure that the kids are, bundled up appropriately as they head out to the bus stop today for everything. So being on the trip here, Sam, I have to ask you if you've ever, I don't know that Madison does or doesn't have these little electric scooters, like these little stick scooters that you can rent. And you see them in some downtowns. They're like laying on street corners or up against walls.
Right. I know what you're talking about.
I don't know if they're much in Madison, but you know the ones I'm talking about.
They don't have ones that you can rent in Madison, but a lot of people have their personal ones.
Okay. I'm happy to say that I survived my first ride of that.
That's good.
We were walking along in downtown Idaho Falls along the Riverwalk, and I had purchased a new pair of boots that I'll talk to Kristen about later, was breaking those in. And after about a mile of walking and my saying, I'm never going to ride one of those scooters, after a mile of trying to break in boots, those scooters started to look really attractive. And actually, it went just fine. Although I have to say, one of my grandsons, when he got done with his ride, he noticed the wheel was not handling very well. Mm. And after he stopped, like, a screw and a nut literally popped out of the bottom of the scooter. Ooh. So I don't know that that's a stunning endorsement for doing that again, but it was, again, still a good time, a good drive. I think one of the things we were talking about before I left was how a changing climate has meant that sometimes the leaves aren't changing colors as stunningly, as beautifully, mm-hmm. or even as quickly at times. And, you know, I noticed when I got home here, the same thing I noticed driving across Montana, North Dakota, is that you had like a first wave of leaves that changed color and fell, but a whole bunch of leaves still haven't changed color yet. It actually looked greener here in Chippewa Falls than when I left, because, again, that first wave had fallen, but the ones still up on the trees are only just now starting like a second wave of color change. So it's definitely not been a typical fall so far, in my mind, at least in terms of the fall colors. I don't know if you had to drive. I noticed that driving through your hometown of Ringgold, by the way, yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Because I was coming back across from a weekend visit to Manitowoc. So I don't know if you've seen the same thing, but
I have not, but I'll be home next weekend. We'll take a look.
Well, and hopefully you'll see some more vibrant colors. And that reminds me, you'll be making that drive up there. And you know, everybody's familiar with Rib Mountain there, you know, in mm-hmm. Wausau, the great big area. But just to the south of there are a couple of like smaller but still very tall hills. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if those have names.
I believe, is called Mosinee Hill, but I'm not 100% sure.
Because one of them yesterday driving through there mm-hmm. had a really nice start to fall colors, but again still plenty of leaves left to fall there. So we'll have more to enjoy from the canopy as we move along through the fall. I also tried to keep up on the news on Twitter, but I see Elon Musk continues his death spiral of Twitter of trying to intentionally turn what once was a very reliable news source into really almost nothing more than a 4chan bulletin board for extremists. He removed the headlines from news articles that are posted on Twitter. So you see a photo, you see what somebody posted about the story, but you can't really tell if it's a news story from a reputable news source that they're posting, or if it's from some, you know, extremist disinformation site. And so it, in one move, it has rendered Twitter almost fully useless. And so I know that I and others certainly spent the weekend again looking at things like Threads and Blue Sky. Some people are still working on Post or Mastodon, looking to create a way to more quickly get reliable news. And that was really borne out this weekend during the attacks by Hamas on Israel, that you could not readily go to a place like you used to be able to go on Twitter and see credible news sources, credible vetted news sources providing information. And so it opened up the door for a lot of people to either have to sift through a ton of information and figure out what was credible and what was not, or it allowed for, frankly, the expansion of false information. And also, frankly, some very disgusting comments. And some of the more disgusting comments came from Republicans in the United States of America. I mean, disgusting behavior by politicians using a tragedy to play partisan politics. You know, the time once was when you could count on elected leaders of all political stripes to call out the instigators of violence and terrorism and warfare and so on. But this time around, you can count on the GOP to make this about President Biden and criticizing him for things happening in Israel and the Gaza Strip. Instead of working as one nation to try to bring a conflict to an end with minimal bloodshed. And they did so purposefully spreading misinformation about money that had recently been freed up for Iran, but that they don't have yet. And yet to make the case that somehow that money was used to immediately stock up on thousands of rockets and get all of those into the Gaza Strip and things like that. I mean, it defies credulity to make that kind of a case. And yet it does not seem to stop people on the right wing who will take the flimsiest of arguments and try to make it sound true. If you want to look for something that is speculative, but at least has more of a chance of being true, look at how former President Donald Trump shared intelligence with Russian officials during a visit to the White House early on in Trump's term in an effort to either impress Putin and Russia or support the Russians. And if you think for a moment, anything that Trump shared with the Russians wasn't shared with Iran and then shared with Hamas, you're fooling yourself. And again, we don't know. We just know that Donald Trump shared certain points of national intelligence with Russian officials that he shouldn't have. We don't know the nature of it. We don't know the degree of it. But as we try to figure out how Hamas was able to launch this kind of a massive sneak attack on Israel, and where were the intelligence failures? I think folks would be better off looking at that avenue as a potential cause than a pile of money that exists in another country that hasn't even been touched yet. Now let's get a little bit closer to home, unpacking the news, and that would start with the Wisconsin Supreme Court deciding that it will directly hear the legal challenge to Wisconsin's gerrymandered maps. And again, to say Wisconsin's gerrymandered maps is not speculative. It's been roundly affirmed and reaffirmed over and over again. The maps are rigged. Janet Protasiewicz was simply calling it as she sees it, insane as much. In much the same way that Justice Rebecca Bradley, the right-wing justice who previously has referred to, for example, abortion as a Holocaust, has not recused herself from abortion cases, and yet she and other conservatives felt that Protasiewicz was somehow duty-bound to recuse herself from a case related to gerrymandering. Janet Protasiewicz has made clear she is not ruling on the merits of the law until a case actually comes before her. And she and the other progressive justices have said, we'll take this case up directly. Much like the conservatives, when they controlled the court, took up cases directly from time to time when they had a certain level of importance. And so watch for this. Watch for this direct take-up. And watch for the increasing calls to impeach Justice Protasiewicz. Again, for the more hypocritical reasons of they didn't like that she did the things that they did when they were in control. Back with more after this, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. Israel's Defense Force confirms there's no more fighting in the south right now. They blocked holes and fences along the Gaza border, now secured by tanks on the ground and fighter jets above. Israeli strikes across Gaza Sunday in response to the massive Hamas attack. ABC's James Longman in Tel Aviv.
Benjamin Netanyahu came out almost immediately to say that it was a state of war that his country was in. Israel has been placed into a state of emergency as a result. This is not something that Israel has ever faced before. And now the challenge is to try to bring it to a resolution. But as with most things in this part of the world, the resolution is not fast.
2 months after the deadly wildfires on Maui, tourism is coming back. But not everyone is happy about it, saying reopening the western part of the island will force wildfire victims out of hotels that were turned into shelters after the tragedy. This is ABC News.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done,
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
When it came time, like, oh, I'm going to pursue comedy. At the time, it was like, well, it was New York and Los Angeles. I'm like, I knew more people in New York. I knew you'd get funnier in New York and there's more stage time. I'm like, I'm going to LA. Like, if my dreams are going to come crashing down, I'd rather have them come crashing down on the beach.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Let's see here. There's Kristen Lyerly. How are you?
Good morning. I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm trying to remember what I had going on here when I picked somebody's baby. Oh, it was Jackson Brown. He's 75 years old today. So we're going to talk about that before long. Let's see. And while I was away, we do a video version of this show on several Facebook pages and other social media sites. And we use a program. We don't use Zoom. We use something called StreamYard. It has graphics in it. Somebody came in here the week I was away and messed with the graphics. And so I'm still trying to get those all set up. And I see I see, Kristen, that you're back. I got to work on your graphics here, but you're not in Green Bay again. You've been traveling about as much as I have.
Yeah, I've been all over the place, but I'm currently in Lake Delton because we had the joy of going to Ishnala last night for dinner, and man, what an experience that was.
Oh my goodness, that's right. I did see a Facebook post about that. I saw everybody has seen the glass with the Ishnala logo on it, and you're looking over the dells, over the river there. And somebody already put up the comment that I was going to put up, which was, how long do you have to wait for your table? And then, is it worth it? And I will say, from my one visit there, the answers were 3 hours. And yes, it was actually worth it. At least, you know, you wouldn't want to make a habit of it. But yeah, it was worth it. How about you?
We waited. We were told 2.5 hours. It ended up being about 2.
Okay.
But it's so beautiful. They have a lot of different bars. It's easy to circulate. So we just got some appetizers and some drinks and looked at Mirror Lake and had some great conversation. It's not a place where you just go and have dinner.
Right.
You go there for the experience of being with other people, and the food is fantastic too.
It is. And like I said, it was worth it. They make good stuff there. They make Supper Club, you know, cuisine look real good. But you have been in Omaha. You have been in Washington, D.C., right?
Yes. All over the place the last couple of weeks. And now I'm in a place with bad Wi-Fi.
I was going to say, yeah, well, that we'll get through it as best we can. But you had a couple of headlines yourself. One is you have like new leadership duties with the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I'm the chair elect for the Upper Midwest, the district that includes Wisconsin and Illinois and Minnesota and Iowa, the Dakotas and Nebraska, as well as a couple provinces and the country of Peru. Interestingly. So that means that I have a seat at the table as we're trying to figure out how to make our way through this crazy world as women's healthcare providers and make sure that our patients get the best possible care in this really challenging environment.
And challenging environment is putting it mildly when we look at the other reason where, while I was away this week, I saw your name online, and that was that a group opposed to women's reproductive health care rights isn't just opposing that on policy matters and, you know, lobbying matters and court cases challenging laws or anything like that, but going after you personally and going after your medical license, which I have to say is, it's not surprising, but it's I know it's not surprising to you, but still, it's just one more reminder that, you know, this is something that's going to be going on for a while, to fight to restore women's reproductive health care rights.
Hey, it's true. All of the little attacks that come from all of the unexpected places. So in this situation, Pro-Life Wisconsin filed a complaint against my medical license that's completely unfounded. I haven't practiced medicine in Wisconsin since Dobbs happened, so there's no basis for this complaint. But we've seen this in other states. I was talking with friends over the weekend when I was in Washington, D.C., and many of them who are outspoken like me have also received similar complaints. I think the most striking one is what happened with Dr. Caitlin Bernard in Indiana when she took care of a 10-year-old rape victim from Ohio. And she was subsequently reprimanded by her medical board, fined by her medical board after a 14-hour trial during which the president of the American Medical Association and one of the authors of HIPAA and all of these advocates from all around the country came to testify on her behalf, explaining that she was doing the right thing in her profession, the right thing for her patients, yet still the medical board chose to punish her because of this hostile environment. But we will not be deterred. We have a job. We went in this to take care of our patients. And that is what we're going to continue doing.
But it's the composition of those boards that matter. Again, boards that most people don't hear about, and for good reason. There's not a lot that they do on a daily basis that would affect our lives, but they do have the ability to make things easier or more difficult for people like physicians and their patients. And to that end, you have the Medical Examining Board in Wisconsin as well, is one of many boards that Republicans have been playing politics with.
For sure. So the Medical Examining Board is a really important piece of how we keep medicine safe across the country. This is the licensing board for doctors. This is where if there's a complaint against a doctor, it's taken into serious consideration. And this is where we make sure that doctors who aren't practicing safe medicine are reprimanded or are otherwise punished. And sometimes people lose their license to practice. So this is how we police our own profession. But what's happening here in Wisconsin is the chair of the medical examining board, who's been there since Governor Evers appointed him when he was first elected. This chair, who is a party on the 1849 abortion ban lawsuit, he's an OBGYN doctor, Sheldon Wasserman,
a former state
assembly purser. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, out of Milwaukee. So Sheldon's been doing a fantastic job, but the Senate failed to confirm him, like they failed to confirm so many of Governor Evers' appointees, for entirely political reasons along entirely political lines. And that, too, is just gross interference.
Oh, and it, as well, not just the medical examining board, but the Republicans on a committee also voted to reject the nominees of Governor Evers to the Natural Resources Board, the one that has been the poster child for Republican interference in blocking Governor Evers' nominees. And I remind folks again, I believe it, the number is still well over 100 nominees and appointees have not been confirmed, that Republican senators are either sitting on those nominations or opposing them for solely partisan reasons. Not that they're not qualified, breaking a century of tradition where a duly elected governor gets to make these appointments, and you don't let politics get in the way until today's Republican Party, which is getting in the way, whether it's the Natural Resources Board, the Medical Examining Board, or even, frankly, the state Supreme Court, where you have this talk, as we mentioned in the last segment, about going after Justice Janet Protasiewicz because they don't like her opinions on something. They don't like how they think she's going to do her job. It's right up there with going after your medical license because somebody doesn't like the way that you do your job, or they don't like how you view things, rather than if you and Justice Protasiewicz and Megan Wolf of the Wisconsin Elections Commission are competently doing the job that you said you were going to do.
I just don't get it. I mean, folks, when you go to your job, you may not like everything that happens at your job, but you still have a job and you still do it. You do your job. You don't get to just put your foot down and say, nope, not going to do it. I don't agree and I don't want to. But that's exactly what our GOP folks in Wisconsin are doing. They're just saying, I don't want to. I don't want to work for you. And, you know, they don't deserve to work for us. We deserve leaders who actually care and want to move the state forward for the people of Wisconsin.
And so, you know, related to that is that the Senate President, Dale Kapenga, sent a letter to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss last week that actually encouraged the Assembly to hold a vote on impeaching Megan Wolf of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which I thought was rather odd given that the Senate had that imaginary vote recently to quote unquote fire Megan Wolf. So if you're now sending a letter to the Assembly saying you should impeach Megan Wolf, you're basically admitting that you're wrong, that you got caught, that your vote has no validity. And Robin Voss, to whatever, I don't want to say to his credit, you know, he said, well, we're not going to hold an impeachment vote on that until we see how the court case challenging the Senate vote comes out. I don't think that's to his credit. I think it's because there's so many other plates spinning right now that, you know, he's busy focused on maybe impeaching Justice Protasiewicz and doesn't have the time and resources to focus on impeaching Megan Wolf. All of this is to say, while I was away, did anything substantive get done on things like the child care crisis or supporting the UW system or a host of other things? And near as I can tell, Kristen, the answer is no. I missed nothing substantive.
You missed nothing substantive. Can we just talk about the Brewers or the Bucks?
we could talk about Brewers, Bucks. You and I both have our green and gold on for the Packers tonight. I will say that a committee held a hearing
on the American Family Field, renovations and how that might be paid for. So that happened last week, was a hearing about it. I don't know that we're that much closer to any kind of a deal. And then the only other thing I noticed in terms of committee hearings last week was about a package of anti-trans bills, which faced a tsunami of opposition during hearings last week. More than 10,000 statements were submitted by people calling out how gross these bills are to simply be attacking trans youth and the LGBTQ community at large. There was a correcting of the record, making sure that the Republicans on that committee heard clearly that the so-called studies upon which they're basing their bills are made up. You know, even some of the study authors say, no, you're misreading our data. And yet that does not seem to stop a group that only knows how to oppose things, only knows how to punch down, and did not take care of, again, the many real problems that Wisconsinites are facing.
It's funny how when somebody says, this is not true, like you are, you're twisting the facts, they just shout the lies louder. They don't actually care about facts. We talked about this over the weekend in Washington, D.C. with all of the doctors that I was with as we were trying to set policy for what happens in the future. And we just had to keep reminding ourselves because, you know, we live in a fact-based world. So we think that the facts should stand on their own. But the truth is, and we see it more and more in politics, facts don't matter. What matters is who's shouting the loudest and how can you make your message the spiciest to get the most attention. It doesn't have to have any basis in truth. And that's exactly what we saw last week with all of that anti-trans, anti-LGBTQ stuff that's out there. They're fighting a culture war when there are real problems that are affecting real Wisconsinites every single day. I mean, like you said, Pat, the cost of childcare, this is a crisis for so many Wisconsinites, yet they're just shrugging their shoulders like, let's focus on trans kids.
Yeah, or other cultural issues like, opposing gun safety. The other thing I missed last week, a shirtless man with a holstered loaded handgun and a dog on a leash walked into the Capitol, approached the security desk at Governor Evers' Capitol office, and he was, arrested for openly carrying a firearm in the Capitol. By the way, carrying a concealed weapon inside the state Capitol is allowed for those in possession of a permit, defying all logic regarding public safety. But that's, again, that's Republican thinking on cultural issues like gun safety. And then this guy comes back after posting bail. He comes back that night with a loaded assault rifle and was again taken into custody and this time placed on a psychiatric hold. But again, what a poster child for the need for red flag laws that we don't have in Wisconsin and that Republicans say no need for it. And it's going to end up with, blood in the Capitol if some of these folks don't wake up pretty soon.
It's really scary. Actually, my partner this morning was saying, I can't believe people can just walk into the Capitol like that. It's just, it's absolutely frightening. But that's the world that we live in right now.
Yeah. And so, what we can do for our part of it is simply try to continue to call this out. There weren't outlets like this before. Things like this would just be swept under the rug. And we get a chance to amplify it so that people keep these things in mind when they're choosing who is going to represent them in Madison, Washington, D.C., and elsewhere. Kristen's going to hang around because it's time to get back on the bicycle in terms of our daily history lesson, our little music break. We'll do all of that. Selena Heller will join us before too long as well, as we roll on here on this Monday morning, getting back on the horse or the bicycle. It's too early. I got to figure out my metaphors. Back after this. You're up north.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 sense. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A frost advisory continues until 9 a.m. this morning. Mainly sunny skies and calm today with highs around 51. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 33 tonight. Highs level off around 52 tomorrow. Mid-50s Wednesday and Thursday with a chance for scattered rain showers Thursday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 32.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This is calm, it's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right in the head.
You better get yourself together. Pretty soon you're gonna be dead.
As we mentioned, today would have been John Lennon's 83rd birthday. John Lennon, born this day in 1940, was murdered in 1980. This is also the day that the Beatles Yesterday hit number one in 1965, and John Lennon's son Sean was born this day in 1975. Hey, Kristen, this next history thing actually takes us into a bit of news. This is the anniversary of the date of the birth of Charles Walgreen, American pharmacist and businessman who founded Walgreens, born this day in 1873. And so a little aside here, Walgreens workers are looking at potentially or are striking. CVS workers at another healthcare chain have talked about limited strikes. Kaiser Permanente, some of their healthcare workers recently staged a short strike to protest the gross understaffing that is going on in these areas. These are very serious matters affecting healthcare wherever you are in the country.
I don't want to talk about it. I just want to listen to the music. It's a mess. We all know that our healthcare system is a mess. Mm-hmm. Staffing is a problem. Payment is a problem. Like, where do you even start to solve this problem? Because there's no silver bullet. It's going to take so much negotiation and so much work, and we're just not in that mind space where we can work together.
Well, and that's just it. It starts with the employer, as you see with the auto workers strike, as you saw with UPS, you saw with the railroads, CVS, Walgreens, Kaiser, physicians with Allina in Minnesota and others. They're all saying the same thing. Stop jerking us around. You know, it's not just about pay. A lot of times it's about conditions, staffing conditions, things like that. And so, you know, I think we're going to have to see some real changes in the healthcare industry in terms of staffing. You know, the legal matters you and I normally talk about, that only scratches the surface of what all is going on. Back to history, this day in 1936, what we now know as Hoover Dam began to generate electricity and transmit it to Los Angeles, this day in 1936. Mentioned this one before, but let's give a little listen to Running on Empty from Jackson Browne, who turns 75 today. Jackson Browne was born Clyde Jackson Browne in Heidelberg, Germany, where his American serviceman father was stationed at the time. On this day in 1984, Thomas the Tank Engine and Friends premiered on the British network ITV. And on this day in 1986, the Fox Broadcasting Company launched as the fourth U.S. television network. And I'll leave it to others to determine whether that was a net positive or not for the good of the country. I've got, let's see, another few more musical notes and birthdays here. Here was the number one song this day in 1961 by Ray Charles. Very catchy little tune. John Entwistle, a bassist for The Who, was born this day in 1944, passed away in 2002. Actor Tony Shalhoub is 70 today. Actor Scott Bakula is 69.
Wait. Shout out to Tony Shalhoub. Yeah. He's from DePere.
Oh, well, okay. Thank you for catching that.
Yes, we love Tony.
Happy birthday.
Shalhoub.
What was the show? Monk? Was that the show that he was the star of? Yeah.
So many shows. He's so highly awarded. I mean, really, he's a genius actor.
Oh, yes, very much so. Happy birthday to him. I mentioned Scott Bakula is 69. So is John O'Hurley. So these two actors, both 69 today. And I don't know that people would necessarily think that they were the same age, you know, based on their work. But that's for others to decide. The number one song this day in 1976 was a disco version of a classical favorite by Beethoven. Imagine hearing this on your radio in 1976. Like, wait, classics? Oh no, we found a way to turn it into disco. This was Walter Murphy and the Big Apple Band. And if the name Walter Murphy is familiar, you've probably seen him in screen credits. I know he does all the music for Family Guy and other TV shows, but back in the mid-1970s, he turned Beethoven into a disco star for a while.
I love it. Blending genres like that, it's fun.
Let's see. Kurt Newman, the singer, songwriter, guitarist for the Bodines, is 62 today. Another Wisconsin tie. He was born in Milwaukee this day in 1961. And then finally, here's one that's going to make you feel a little old. Steve from Blue's Clues. Steve Burns turns 50 today.
Wait, Steve has a last name? I thought he was just Steve. Like, Cher is just Cher.
No. Steve has a last name. Steve Burns is 50 years old today. All right. So, I was going to go with you next was the CVS and the Walgreens and the Kaiser and everything that's happening there, but we've pretty much taken on that already. I see I see Selena Heller is lurking in there already. Oh wait, no, Selena Heller's cat is lurking. Hello, Whiskers.
Whiskers says good morning.
Big old cat face showing up on my computer screen this early. I can feel my throat tightening already I'm not that I'm allergic or anything like that. So how are you?
I am well. We're camping over the weekend, so I'm thawed out.
Thawed out? Where were you camping?
Osseo.
Oh, wait. Osseo. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of where I would go camping in Osseo. Where would you go camping in Osseo?
Stony Creek, it's called. It's a great little spot. We had all sorts of Halloween activities. Very fun.
Halloween-themed camping. Yes, Kristen.
I know where I would camp in Osseo, and it would be the Norsky Nook. I would just take it out right there. Like, give me some pie.
Yes, that would completely work. Yeah, it seems a little late. Is this a tradition of Halloween camping for you, Selena?
Yes, it's our annual fall trip. Usually, hopefully it's not this cold usually, but well, last year it was warm. This year, not so much. Uh-huh. It was 40 and we have a pop-up, so it gets a little chilly.
Ooh, yes, it does. Uh-huh. You can't, well, Kristen, you've got a pop-up too. What do you do to stay warm safely in those things? Kristen,
as long as you've got a plug in, you're good.
Okay. Well, I popped a breaker, so then I didn't know. So then I got a little whiskers. So then I got a little.
What
concerned
did the cat just do?
It
sounded like the cat knocked over a pile of papers there.
Not quite. Okay. Yeah, so I popped a breaker, and then I was a little concerned because I couldn't. I'm like, oh, this happened last year. I know what to do. And it was the outside outlet. And so I fixed that. And like, okay, nope, nothing came back on. So no electricity. Like, all right. Okay, problem.
Well, this sounds like a reason not to camp, but I'm glad that you had a good time. You stick around after news and commercials, and we'll find out what she's been covering for Up North News. Back after this.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Howler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Howler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
I'm Justin Fitt.